Trans FM's Ethan St. Pierre joins Becky next. This is the Rebecca Juro Show for April 28th, 2011.
And then they try to tell them to leave because the cops are coming so they could protect them and not me. They wanted to fight me and I had to explain myself to them just in order to get along with somebody. And I feel like that, you know, you don't have to explain yourself to nobody. Be who you are and go as you are. But people don't want that to happen. It sickens me that it has to come down to this result.
Oh, Becky, that is so sick. A beat down at McDonald's, of all things.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it was, really, Mike. It was a beat down. And, you know, it's interesting because, of course, a lot of you've heard, of course, Chrissy Lee Polis, beaten, yeah, had the crap kicked out of her by two African-American girls, one 18, one 14, in a Baltimore County McDonald's early last week, took most of the week for it just to get out to us. And you know, I recorded a podcast, which I released earlier in the week, and I thought maybe that would kind of get some of my emotion about this thing out. But you know what? It really hasn't. It's only made me angrier, okay? You know, because I'll tell you, I'm pissed. I mean, what kills me about this whole situation, okay, is not that the manager didn't do anything, which is, you know, I mean, I've worked in a retail a long time, and you're not supposed to step into the middle of a fight, okay? No company wants you doing that and risking having to pay insurance and getting involved in legal suits and stuff like that. So I don't fault the manager for that. What I do fault him for is, number one, having his employees standing there recording it with their cell phones and laughing, and he didn't bother to get around to calling the police until after the fight was over. What the hell kind of crap is that? He should have been on the phone 3 seconds after that fight started. Number one. Number two is, you know, I'll tell you, I mean, I think we all know what this was about. She was coming out of the bathroom. These two girls realized she was transgender. Now, we all heard that there was something going on, that one of the girls had a problem, that her boyfriend hit on Chrissy or something like that. What bothers me most about this is, you know, it's not even the girls who committed this disgusting act, because these were, you know, I mean, I young African-American teenage girls. And they were behaving disgustingly and transphobically and all that stuff. But, you know, the person who was in charge of that area, the McDonald's manager, waited until that beating was done before he even picked up the phone to call the cops. Disgusting. And his employees, yes, his employees, were standing around laughing and recording it on their cell phones. Okay, now, you know what? That kid who recorded it on his cell phone, he should have lost his job, no question about it. What about that manager? Any manager worth half a anything should never have allowed that. I'm sorry, but you know, you allow your employees to stand around laughing and recording this on a cell phone? You know, I question that manager. I question his the credibility of letting him maintain his job, okay? I mean, it's just disgraceful. But, you know, here's the thing. On the other side of the equation, on the good side of the equation, is, you know, normally when we have one of these things, you have a rally for transgender rights, you're lucky if 20 or 30 people show up. 300 people showed up for this thing. That tells you something. Okay? I, as disgusting an act and as horrific an act as this was, maybe this is the kind of turning point that we need to bring it home to people and say, you know what, this bullshit about trans people being a threat to others in the ladies' room, it's nonsense. It's right-wing propaganda. The real problem here is not the right. It's not trans people creating a threat. It's trans people being threatened for using the bathroom. We all know what the real stories are here. The real stories are the cops who drag a trans woman out of the bathroom because they don't think she looks feminine enough. Or a trans woman beaten to the ground into an epileptic seizure because two girls decide that she shouldn't be in there. I don't care. I don't care if she was having herself a cookout in the fucking ladies' room, okay? It's no excuse for a beatdown. It's no excuse for beating somebody like that. It's absolutely disgusting. And for standing around, or manager and employees standing around while this woman is beaten in your restaurant, not even picking up the phone until it's over, this is what you call credible? This is what, you know, there's no place for violence under the golden arches, according to McDonald's, right? But their employees are perfectly happy to make a show of it and put it on YouTube, right? I mean, you know, there are people who are calling for a boycott of McDonald's over this. And I'm not so sure that that's a bad idea. I'm really not. Okay? At least the owner of the McDonald's did the right thing when he was made aware of it. But the fact is he employs douchebags in his store. And those douchebags need to be replaced with human beings. Because human beings don't stand there and twiddle their fucking thumbs while a woman is being beaten senseless and into an epileptic seizure. Human beings don't do that. Douchebags do that. Okay? And that kid, Vernon Walker, ballless jerk off that he is, should have lost his job. But that manager, whoever he is, he should be out the door right behind him. And, you know, I mean, I was hoping that doing my podcast earlier this week, and you can check that out. It's up on iTunes and up on Podomatic. You can take a look at that. I was hoping that would get a little bit of my anger about this whole situation out of this, you know, but it really hasn't. It's just made me more angry. And you see things like politicians who are quick to come up and prove that they don't get it, that they still don't get it, that even an event like this proves that they don't get it. When you get this guy who was, I'll have to look it up. I don't have it in front of me. I think he was like a lower level county official, Ken or Kevin something or other, comes out and says, oh, this is no reflection on Baltimore County or the people of Rosedale. Fucking hell if it's not. Hell if it's not. It is most definitely a reflection on Baltimore County and Rosedale. And it shows you that you got work to do. It shows you that your politicians aren't doing their jobs. They're not passing the right laws. Your police aren't doing their jobs. Your local community people who work in your retail businesses aren't doing their jobs. You most certainly do have a problem, and it most certainly is a reflection on you and your community. Okay? At the same time, it's also a very positive reflection how people like Mrs. Toms came out and helped protect Chrissy, and how other people who were in the neighborhood showed up for this thing to show solidarity. Okay? Two different things here. Okay? And those folks who came to the rally, who voiced support for Chrissy and spoke out against this violence, kudos to them. But you know what? I'm sorry. It shows that you have work to do in your community, that you should not take this lying down. And you know, it's infuriating. And I hope, Ethan, I hope if you're listening, you'll give me a couple more minutes because there's a couple more things I want to say about this before we call you up. Let's see. What is Mr. Mike is saying something here, and I'm trying to find it on my thing. Ethan is ready. Okay. Ethan is ready. Okay. Well, I just want to finish this rant off with one more thing. It is a reflection on Baltimore County. It is a reflection on Rosedale. It is a reflection on Maryland state legislature. Yeah. Okay. It is a reflection on American society as it is today. And I just hope that we capitalize on this. And of course, now we are going to go to a song, a Coyote Grace song, and then we will have our good friend and always one of the best and most well-spoken voices on these things when we need him. Ethan St. Pierre is going to be joining us. So stick around, everybody. It's going to be a good show. Thank you.
Roll away, baby, you further from me to you. We'll take the longer way down a ridge, down a county line. I'm getting all fine. Eyes open, eyes closed, my love. 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 Storms and there are no more wars. Eyes open, eyes closed, my love. Eyes open, eyes closed, my love. Eyes open, eyes closed, my love. Eyes open, eyes closed.
From Trans FM, and she'll be here with Ethan St. Pierre in just a minute.
They all sat there and watched. And then when I tried to use the cell, when I tried to use the phone, the girl ripped the phone out my hand. I was like, no, she ain't calling no cops. And she sat it down. When I sat there to collect my stuff back, the one girl kicked me in my back, stepped on my arm. I had so many bruises. I still have bruises all over me. But the only one that's still remaining is the one on my eye and the one on my kneecap. So. I don't remember having a seizure. I mean, I do remember going into one. That's why I try to sit there and be calm. Every time I try to walk away, they followed me. One guy was standing there, and he seen him coming back there, and he walked away when it came up and approached me because I was holding my head like this because I didn't want to go into a seizure, and I knew I was going to go into one. And when I had a seizure, I remember spitting up blood all over the McDonald's door.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Well, hello. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Rebecca Juro Show, and we're talking about Chrissy Lee Polis, who was, of course, brutally beaten at McDonald's in Baltimore County last week. And we have our good friend and our one of our community's strongest voices, Ethan St. Pierre. Hey, Ethan, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Becky?
I'm doing all right. I'm a little pissed off, but otherwise okay. You know, I wanted to ask you, you know, because I'm sure you heard what I was saying earlier. One of the things that bothers me the most about this is not necessarily as much as that it happened, because we know that these things happen all the time. But the way that the manager and the employees of McDonald's and the other people who were in the McDonald's at the time reacted to it. Do you agree with that?
Well, first of all, I'm just as aggravated that it happened to begin with, and that, sure, you know, the people reacted in such an inhumane way by not stepping in to stop the beating. And in fact, the woman that did step in, the one that got punched in the face, when she started to do that, when she started to go in to try to stop them, the McDonald's employee said to her, "You know that's a transvestite, don't you?" And she said that, "Well, it doesn't matter. This is a human being."
Right.
And yeah. She stepped in to stop this. But the fact that two people saw fit to beat another human being like that and thought that they could get away with it because trans, you know, in other people's eyes, some people's eyes, transgender people's lives don't matter. And yeah, that's really what it is. The fact that she was getting a beating like that, and the fact that people stood by to watch it because they didn't see a human being harmed. And that pisses me off every freaking time. And it's I'm not used to seeing this yet. I don't think I'll ever be used to seeing that.
You and I, let's be honest, you and I, you're in Massachusetts, I'm in New Jersey. Yeah, we don't, you know, for a lot of years, we didn't have laws in New Jersey. We still don't have a law in Massachusetts. But generally speaking, the states that we live in are pretty progressive. And we don't, I mean, we may get the discrimination, but we don't get the violence like we've seen here.
Well, there's been quite a bit of violence here in Massachusetts, and unfortunately, and fortunately at the same time, it hasn't made mainstream press. And I say fortunately because the two women that just had incidents happen were petrified that it would make its way into the mainstream press and that that would put their lives in further danger. That's one of those things. That's very true. We have to be really careful sometimes with the way that we report things, especially the violence. And just because you don't read about it doesn't mean it's not happening.
Very, very true. That's an important point to make. And, you know, I mean, I haven't seen a lot of violence. You know, personally here in Jersey, I've faced a lot of discrimination. I've seen a lot of discrimination take place, but I haven't seen the kind of violence. You hear about stuff going on in New York, you hear about stuff going on in other places, but we, for some reason, you know, and you hear about something like this, and again, it comes back to, for me, I mean, you know, people said, oh, this is not the first time this has happened in Baltimore, not by a long shot. It's just the first time it's getting mainstream coverage. You know, and that to me,
and yeah,
that's part of the problem.
That's probably true. That's what, well, again, it depends, and of course, our community does need to know about these things, and you know, the discretion that needs to be taken when it does reach the mainstream press. I mean, you know how many women are raped every year in the United States, but you don't see it publicized. You don't see women's names plastered all over the newspaper, and there's a reason for that. Just the same way that, you know, to protect the innocent, it shouldn't be plastered all over the newspaper. You can say that there was a person that had been harmed. They don't necessarily have to publish the person's name or go to that length when it's going to further harm the individual that's been
right,
beaten, but, or or whatever. Right. But to be aware of it, we should be aware of it, and they should be publicizing it to a certain extent. But we always have to be mindful that it's the people we're trying to protect. And, you know, I mean, Chrissy Lee Polis is afraid to go out of her house.
Yeah. And that, to me, is the worst part of this, because nobody should be afraid to go out of their house. And that's really what this is. And you know, that's really when, you know, people say, oh, it was a hate crime. No, it wasn't. Yes, it was. I think that really is the core of what a hate crime is you're terrifying an entire community. You're making people to say, oh, I'm transgender. I wonder if I should go out of my house tonight. Will I be beaten up? Will I somebody spit in my face and beat me into a seizure? You know, and that really is the core of what a hate crime is about. You're not just terrorizing an individual, you're terrorizing an entire community.
Well, it is terrorism. It's terrorism at its core. And, you know, all of these politicians that want to talk about terrorists in the United States, well, you know what, how about protecting the people of the United States that are citizens of the United States, you know, from people that are out to harm you because you're African American, because you're Italian, because you're Irish, because you're a transgender, because you're gay or a lesbian. It's you know, protect, and it is protecting a group of people, because, you know, I mean, how many other people in Maryland, how much terror has this caused other people in Maryland? Now, I realize, like you said, this isn't the first time that this has happened, and it won't be the last. Maryland has a high murder rate for trans people.
And I think it underscores, you know, to bring this back, because, you know, we haven't even talked politics tonight yet. Of course, we're just getting into the show. But, I mean, doesn't this have a political impact in the sense that this happened literally days after the Maryland state legislature rejected a law that would have protected trans people, you know, not in public accommodations, but at least in employment and housing? And they, you know, basically sent this off to the legislative graveyard.
Well, yeah. Let me put it this way: the without public accommodations, that's really the basic civil right.
Yeah,
that is what civil rights won in 1964 was based on public accommodations.
Right.
The fact of being allowed to go into any public space. There are people out there, some people that believe that public accommodations, that they're thinking it's just about bathrooms, but it's not. Because the fact of the matter is, many fast food restaurants or any restaurant or any pharmacy or any public place in Maryland, that with a few other, you know, jurisdictions excluded, that have public accommodations, they're allowed to kick you out because you're trans, and they're well aware of that law. The owners of those establishments are well aware of that. So,
right, and you know, Ethan, here's something. I don't know if you remember this. I'm pretty sure you were with us at the time, but when we were in Maryland in 2004, we were lobbying with NTAC. And we were staying at a motel, which was close to the metro, close to the D.C. metro in Maryland. And we went to Applebee's one night to eat. And we soon discovered, after being there for a while, that we weren't going to get served. It was the first and only time that's ever happened to me.
Oddly enough, I think I told the story to you once before, but, well, maybe I didn't, but I was young, I was in my 20s, and I was in Vermont, and I was, living, as a female and, as an out lesbian, and I was with three other, people that were identifying as lesbians, and two of us went into an inn to get, to see, you know, see if there were any vacancies. And the woman, there was a guy and a girl sitting around a fire. It was really nice, a fireplace. And the woman jumped up and she went behind the desk and she was like, oh, yeah, we have vacancies. And the guy looked up at his newspaper and he looked at us and he jumped up and he went behind the desk and he pushed the woman away and he shut the book and he said, we have no vacancies.
Yes.
And she's you did tell me about rehab. Yeah, and it was that was the first time for me. And it wasn't about being trans. It was about gender expression.
Yes.
We weren't touching each other. We weren't holding hands. It wasn't about, they couldn't see our sexual orientation. We were just both, butch lesbians, presenting butch. And that's, and he saw that. And there was no, and he didn't know if he was straight or gay or what the hell we were. But he didn't like the way we looked, and he denied us access to a public place. And you know, that it's you don't know what to do in something like that. I was in my 20s. I didn't know what the hell to do. I was mad. But what were you supposed to do about it? It affected my whole weekend away. It really did. It was just so, the discrimination. It made you feel shameful and guilt. It just, all of those things that, when I was in my 20s, it was in the very early 80s. So that was a long time ago. Things have changed since then, but not for transgender people. Transgender people, that's, in some states, or most states even, that's where some trans people are, right where I was in Vermont at that time. And you don't know. You can go into any place. You can be shopping in a Walmart or a Target or Sears, anywhere. And somebody can come up to you and say, your kind isn't welcome in our establishment.
Right. Now, of course, we should point out that Target and many other of the larger chain stores do have pro-inclusive anti-discrimination policies, so that most likely would not happen.
Well, they have employment non-discrimination policies, but it doesn't necessarily mean that, that number one, they will employ a transgender person depending on where the store is. And because it's only a policy, it's not a law.
It depends on where you are.
They still have the right to tell you to get the hell out. And it doesn't matter what their employment. It's not about employment. It's about public accommodations.
Right. But at the same time, what I've noticed is that a lot of the larger retail stores, regardless of what the state law is, will say, this is how we do things. You know, we don't discriminate. I've worked for companies like that. Even before New Jersey had a law, they say, we welcome everyone and we don't, you know. So, you know, it depends on the company. It really does.
There was at a hotel in Nevada, they did have a non-discrimination policy at their hotel. What the heck was it? The Cosmopolitan Hotel?
Yeah.
In Las Vegas, Nevada. And they actually grabbed the woman. She used the restroom. They escorted her out and issued her a piece of paper telling her she was banned for life because she used the ladies' room. And they later on issued a statement apologizing to her.
Because they thought she was a hooker, because she was trans.
Well, of course, all trans people hookers.
Well, she was asked, are you working? And, you know, I mean, she was working. She was at a convention as an employee. And so she answered yes, and they threw her out because they thought she was a hooker.
Well, because what else would you be doing?
You're a trans woman, so how could you not be a hooker, right?
Right. Well, I'm being sarcastic, of course. But if they have an employment, if they have a non-discrimination policy, shouldn't all of their staff have been trained? And the idea that, you know, that they would be doing this to a trans person, assuming, first of all, that they're a prostitute, and then asking if they were working. And, of course, when they say yes, working means hooking. And why would they think that if they had been trained? You know, I mean, that's the issue right there. And, you know, and again, they just
I'll tell you exactly why, because I used to work at a hotel and I figured this one out about 5 seconds after I read that story. I can just about bet you that those security folks that were there, they weren't hotel employees. They were from a contracted company that provides security to that hotel. So they didn't train anybody on the security staff. They just said, you know, keep the hookers out. We don't want them here. And so they went by, you know, whatever training they got from their security company.
Which generally is horrible. I worked for both Lackenhut and Barton. And I can tell you
Wells Fargo here.
and one of the things, and you might know this, being contracted to a company that has non-discrimination policies, they can be extremely inclusive, but it does not mean that the people that are at the door, the people that are greeting your customers, are trained in that. And that's one of the things I had brought up long before I had the discrimination happen to me at Sun Microsystems. I actually brought that up to the Sun diversity team, asking them to train the people that were contractors, not just the security staff, but all of their contractors. You know, and that was when they were like scratching their heads. I worked for Barton. All the reception desks were full of Barton employees, and they weren't trained in diversity, not at all.
Sure, and they're not going to do it because, that costs money.
Well, and they're representing their company. So people that walk through the door don't know that they're dealing with a contractor. They believe they're dealing with the company because you're there representing them. And so this, again, but this, they're not gentlemen, but the guys, as you call them, douchebags, that worked at McDonald's that did this. McDonald's, now you know this because you and I have talked about this. If you're a McDonald's employee and you're making crap for money, in fact, you're told, don't get involved with the things that happen. Calling the police, oh my goodness, yes. And as a human being, stop what's going on. Do your best to stop what's going on. One of the issues, though, that I do know is that as soon as an employee had touched one of the women, even if it was somebody that was doing the attacking, and tried to restrain her, that would be an assault.
Absolutely.
And it's also restraining somebody without being a peace officer. There are so many laws. I don't know what Maryland's laws are. I know that in Massachusetts that's the case. You cannot do that, even if you're a security guard.
But there's one thing that they can do that they did not do, which is they could have gotten them to leave. They could have gotten them to leave and then locked the door behind them and prevented them from coming back in three times.
Yes,
and beating the crap out of this girl again. They didn't do that.
Absolutely. Nope.
That's within their power and within their ability as controlling that property, and they did not do that. So that, in my opinion, McDonald's is liable on that basis.
Yes, and I'm wondering how many, how well trained they were into how to react to a situation like that. Were they trained at all? I mean, McDonald's management really needs to answer those questions.
I agree.
Were they trained in how to deal with those things? And obviously, they weren't trained in any. They didn't have any diversity training at all to treat it like that. To treat the trans woman as if she was subhuman.
Right, but not only that, take the trans thing out of it for a minute, Ethan. Okay, this was not even the first time that this girl, this Tiona, whatever the hell her name was, the 18-year-old, had gotten into a fight in that McDonald's. Okay, so this was something that had happened. At the very minimum, they should train their employees in, here's what you do if a fight breaks out in your store. Forget about trans, forget about anything else. Here's what to do if violence breaks out on the floor of your restaurant.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the point
I was trying to make, is that they should be trained in what to do, how to handle, anything like that, any acts of violence. And this woman should have been barred from their McDonald's if she had done this once already. Why the hell was she allowed in there again?
Yeah, exactly. What happened was they filed charges, according to what I read. Baltimore County filed charges and then they dropped them 3 months later. Why that was, I don't know. I don't have the details on that. But apparently she had been charged, and then the prosecutors dropped the charges 3 months later. But the reality is this was just a violent girl. And I don't know whether it was her sister or whoever. Okay, it was two violent girls, and they deserve to be locked up. And, you know, I like I said, I think the manager did a very poor job of everything, and he should lose his job, too.
Yeah.
That's what I
think. He did not handle that situation at all.
Yeah.
Immediately calling 911, get off your ass, and don't pick up the phone and start taping. Call 911.
Right.
You know?
Well, and you let your employees stand there and laugh and record it on their cell phones while you're standing there? What the hell kind of manager is this guy? That's what I want to know. What the hell kind of an authority figure is this guy that he lets his employees stand around and watch and record the thing on his on their cell phones? I mean, come on. That's to me the real failing of this manager. His job, and you know this because you've been a manager, one of your very first and most basic jobs as a manager is you are the authority of that store. And if you want to say, you know what, you're not welcome in my store, get out. You're endangering my customers or other people in my store, whatever. That is within your authority to do that. And he didn't do that. He just let it go on. And then when it was over, then he called the cops. I mean, that to me is a failure of leadership right there.
Well, it's a failure of brains. I mean,
right.
Where the hell is your brains?
It's the most basic job that a manager has, to keep violence and to keep your everything from all hell breaking loose inside your store. That's the most basic responsibility that any manager has. I mean, really. So,
you know,
I don't know.
They're serving people food, and, you know, I mean, that's going to make for a lot of customers going to want to go there, I'm sure.
Right, exactly.
You know, it's just, what the hell? But anyway, one of the other things that we had talked about, too, and about this whole case was that, you know, where's the progressive media?
Yes. And what I think is interesting here is we've seen this. I mean, it showed up in the Baltimore Sun, did some amazing coverage. It's been AP, UPI, Huffington Post, pretty
NPR.
Much every major website. You know who's not covering it? Everybody covered it. I mean, I even George Stephanopoulos on ABC This Week, the Sunday morning show, covered it. Who's not covering it? Our so-called friends in the progressive media. Did you hear a peep on it from Rachel Maddow or anybody at MSNBC or The Nation or Mother Jones or MoveOn.org or any of these places? Okay, no, you don't hear shit. Our so-called friends in the progressive activists, they don't want to know you. They don't give a shit. They're too busy worrying about, you know, whether or not Donald Trump is running for president. I mean, really.
That gives me a headache.
Well, he's such a, I mean, you know, I think Obama got it right when he called him a carnival barker, because that's exactly what he is.
Ooh, good one.
Yeah, but the reality is you know, everybody's talking about, oh wow, you know, what's the big story this week? Oh gee, the White House is going to host a conversation about transgender issues. Oh gosh, I'm so excited. I'm so thrilled, because after all, talking about it in Congress has just brought us so far along, hasn't it? You know, I mean,
well,
this is just one more example of Democrats
there?
All talk, no action bullshit.
Well, again, though, who is attending? You know, having a meeting at the White House doesn't mean that the pertinent people are going to be there. It could have, I mean, I know that it's not going to be the case, but it could be a bunch of transgender people and the janitors at the White House. Who's going to be there?
Well, they've already said that Obama won't be there, which is no big surprise. You know, but then again, he doesn't show for the gay meetings either. So, you know, that's not a surprise. Okay. But yeah, who's going to show up and who's going to be invited? And we don't know. And the reality is, you know, they're doing all this now. You know, if they had been doing this back when they actually had control of Congress and could do something, well, then it might be seen as a little bit credible. But now when they're out of power, they talk about, oh, yeah, let's do everything now. I mean, you know, I don't know about you, Ethan, but I'm so sick of this mealy-mouthed bullshit from Democrats. Oh, well, now there's no possibility of doing anything. So let's put on a big show about how much we care about the transies. About the trannies, well, you know, let's put on this big show because there's nothing we can possibly do to help them now anyway.
There was no chance of passing an inclusive ender in 2007. So why didn't they do that then?
You know, because that's not what HRC wanted. HRC wanted a non-inclusive ender. That's what the big money people, that's what the people with the money wanted. That's what the people who were the rich white gay men wanted. And so that's what they got. Just like the rich white gay men wanted the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and that's what they got. And the working class can go fuck themselves.
It's as simple as they can always point to us and say the transgender people are the ones holding us back. If they kept us in ENDA in 2007, it may have passed the House. They don't know that. Why didn't they? Diego Sanchez came right out and said that they had enough votes to overcome a motion to recommit.
Right, but you know, you and I have both questioned the veracity of that. Do you believe that that's true?
Yes, I do.
You and I have, because you and I have both questioned that.
I believe that that's true and that he wasn't supposed to say that. That's the problem, but he did say it. And he said it in front of a whole bunch of people. He didn't make a mistake when he said it. He knew what he was saying. The idea that, first of all, again, they had enough votes. They had enough votes to overcome a motion to recommit, and they ran out of time. Well, why wouldn't they have put something like that forth to show, yes, we have the support for transgender people. Yes, there is just as much support for the transgender community as there is for the gay and lesbian community in ENDA. And instead, they chose not to. Why would they do that?
Well, because one is easier, and they don't care about us. We don't represent enough cold, hard cash and enough votes for them to make it worth sticking their necks out for. I mean, after all, it's like, what will Democrats gain by supporting trans people? You know, how will it help them and their political interests? And that's really what it boils down to, whether you're talking about a state legislature in Baltimore or you're talking about, you know, people who are, you know, the Congress of the United States. It's not about, will this help trans people? It's how will this help the Democratic Party? That's what it's about. And that's when push comes to shove. They see, you know, let's pander to rich white gay men. Why? Because rich white gay men have lots and lots of money and they will donate it to us if we do what they tell them to. And I think that's really what it boils down to more than anything else. Is, you know, they are going to go for what gets and what gets the most media coverage, bringing it back to that. Okay, Don't Ask, Don't Tell was all over Rachel Maddow. It was all over MSNBC. You never heard a peep about ENDA, not one. And so, you know, politicians are like, well, once again, how does this help me? It doesn't help me get on television, so why should I bother supporting it? You know, well, doesn't help me, doesn't help my party, doesn't help my personal career, so why should I give a shit? That's what
it also
about.
Helping organizations to continue to fundraise because they passed an easy bill. Low hanging fruit. It was easy to pass the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Everybody was supporting it.
Right. But that's the thing. It was getting lots of media coverage. And you know, that's what politicians want. They want to be where the cameras are. And that's where the cameras are. They were in front of Jan Choi and Victor Fehrenbach and all the other Dudley Do-Rights who were, you know, coming on and saying, you know, and that's the thing. Okay, even when a guest would bring up ENDA, like Ben Jealous, the head of the NAACP, did they just glossed right over it? I mean, Rachel Maddow talked about the hate crimes bill. She said it protected sexual orientation and gender identity, never bothered to even define what gender identity was for her audience. Because, you know, we don't fit their demographic. We don't buy lots of new cars and sneakers and whatever the other garbage that they sell on MSNBC is. So we're not worthy of proper coverage. It's really what it's about. You know, it's all the only progressive thing that MSNBC is interested in is progressively making its sponsor fee income larger and larger progressively. That's the progressivism that they're interested in. Progressively getting wealthier and wealthier off of the six-figure liberals who watch their shows. That's what they're about. And I think people have to realize that. That this is not, you know, MSNBC is not altruistic. They're not real progressives. They're in business to make money. And that's what they do.
Mm-hmm. Just like the organizations in Washington, D.C. They're no different. Right. It's the exact same thing. They're in business to be in business. They have marketed the word equality. They've packaged it, and they've sold it to their constituents.
Exactly.
There you go. Equality.
Hey, hey, Ethan, can you stick around? I want to go make a quick coffee run, and while Mr. Mike throws on a song, and we can continue this conversation in a couple of minutes.
Sure, no problem.
Okay, Mr. Mike, can you throw on something there?
Sure can. Here's Janice Ian from Me to You from Trans FM and the Rebecca Giro Show.
I would not beg for you, though I'd like to be the one to see through. Every step you have taken disappears with the tide. You're torn up and shaken with changing your mind. You haven't got the grace to see you finally decide, and you haven't got the strength to stay to fight. Those people who surround you only want to see you weak enough to crawl. Their life you decide for you and buy up all your rights and all your wrongs. And they're trying to stop your singing in the middle of your song. For they do not want you free and they will not make you strong, but only drag you down in the hole they're coming. They say you are foolish in wanting the sun. Say you are selfish in learning to run. Tell you that the darkness is a blessing in disguise, for you never have to notice if you're sighted or you're blind. And they'll do their best to keep you from the light. Time. I hate to see a friend go down in flames without a song. So I'm waiting by the doorway, but I will not linger long. And I'm leaving my night, I'm leaving alone, I'm leaving a lie. When you're waking, I'll be gone. I would not beg for me, as I could not beg for you.
Ethan St. Pierre is Becky Giro's guest on this edition of the Rebecca Giro Show from Trans FM, and they'll both be back in a second.
I know that there's going to be a segment of people for which, no matter what we put out, this issue will not be put to rest.
Crazy. Barack Obama is a liar.
Was he born in Hawaii? Do you believe he was born in Hawaii according to the truth of that birth certificate?
Stop yelling, behave like
Will you talk
being?
About his birth
Can
certificate?
You behave like a human
Will
being?
You talk
Apparently,
about his
Harvard
birth certificate?
Harvard is not preparing human beings. This is Barack Obama's... So
let me get this straight. You are coming on this show and you're not going to talk about his birth certificate?
That Barack Obama is committing
Tates,
Social Security fraud.
Are you going to talk about his birth certificate?
Social Security number that Barack Obama
All right, that's it.
Is using...
Get her out of here. Get her off this show. Get out.
Not
you're not going
to
talk about the birth certificate or Tate. Go home.
Anybody
you're fired. Go play with Donald Trump.
You know, Becky, I don't think Orly Tates is a mercury-free dentist. Yeah, she's mad as a hatter.
Oh, my goodness. Hi. Well, welcome back, everybody. We are here. That was a little bit of levity in, I guess, an otherwise show that hasn't had too much levity in it for obvious reasons. And we are talking with Ethan St. Pierre. About Chrissy Paulus and about a bunch of stuff. And, you know, Ethan, I don't know. It doesn't it seem like maybe I'm hoping, you know, I mean, I'm hoping that is this our Stonewall moment? Is Rosedale, Rose, whatever the hell, Roseburg, Rosedale, is this our moment when people finally start saying, wow, you know, maybe we really need to do something.
No. No, people aren't nearly mad enough, and people aren't doing enough. The organizations jumped on that like fly on shit, simply because they were jumping out there. Look at me. A lot of people left behind the fact that Chrissy's a human being and that she was injured in this. And there was a couple of groups from Maryland, and thank goodness for them, that raised money to help Chrissy. And
who were they? Give them a shout out on the show because they deserve it.
It was one of them was Robin Webb, and you know she posted a she set up a web page really quick, posted a link, got. I think we raised like $600, and then hang on just a second. I'm trying to find the link because she put it on. She also sent me one of the TransUnited. That's TransUnited. I didn't have to find it. TransUnited also set up a page, and they raised $500. So together, $1,100 was raised for Chrissy to help her relocate. Actually, if she wants to relocate, she can at least put down a payment to get the heck out of that neighborhood and get, you know, another apartment if she can, wants to, or whatever other expenses she may have, just to help her out. Maybe it will be for health care, whatever the case may be. You know, the organizations that gathered, the people, the individuals, I believe, that went because they were pissed off and that they were going to this event because they were angry that they knew that this was happening to a person that, you know, but I saw so many people fighting for the microphone. You know, just look at my organization. We're here to stay. You know what? It made me sick. To see that. Really
I agree with you. Let's hang on one second. Hey, Mike, we have a clip of Mara Kiesling from that rally. Can you run that?
It's okay to fire somebody because they're disabled. It's going to be okay to fire people because they're trans. And if it's okay to hurt somebody because you think they're an Arab and you happen to hate Arabs this year, then it's okay to hurt a trans person. And if it is okay to murder a low-income young immigrant transgender sex worker, it is okay to murder me and you and you and you. We all have to end this. We have to stop joking. We have to stop discrimination. We have to stop disrespect. We have to stop violence. We have to do it now. We have to stop it against everybody.
Okay. Well, I mean, I thought that was a pretty good way to put it, you know, whatever,
wonderful considering that she supported the bill that didn't include public accommodations, though.
Agreed.
When you talk about committing a hate crime and you stand on a fucking podium and you start saying it's going to affect you and you, you know what? the message that you send when you tell a whole state that it's okay to discriminate against any group of people in any way, shape, or form, allows that hatred, allows those beatings. So the fact that she stood there and even said that pisses me off to no fucking end.
Well, you know, I don't know if I agree with that, Ethan, because you know what? If she was standing in front of a group of trans people talking solely to the community, I might agree with you, but she wasn't. That's not what she was there for. She was speaking to straight people, and that makes it different.
To her organization. What do you think? Well, honestly, did she mention public accommodation? Did she mention anything else?
No, because that's not what this was about. That's not what this was about. This wasn't a political thing about legislation. This was about Chrissy Polis.
Of course it's about public accommodations. And a message that you send to all groups of people, when you deny access to public accommodations and say, oh, yeah, well, you don't need that in this bill, what message do you think you're sending? That it's okay to discriminate. It's okay. That it's all right. What do you think comes with that? Hatred.
Yes.
Violence.
But you know what? You know, people like you and me and Mara and anybody else who's trans, we can talk ourselves until we're blue in the face saying these kind of things. But it takes something like this to put it in people's faces and the media coverage that comes with it. You know, but the funny thing is, and we were talking about this just before we went to break, is the people who you would count on, that you would expect to be among the first to be on this story, are the people who are totally ignoring it. MSNBC. And I mean, just to show you, okay, even though he's fucked up and he drew the completely wrong conclusion about it, Sean Hannity, right-wing asshole Sean Hannity, actually covered this on his show, and he got the pronouns right. How about that? Check this out. Mike, run that clip, please.
All right. Well, I think we just all agree that that is a chilling, frightening, scary video.
It's absolutely outrageous. I can't believe that, you know, this is going on in McDonald's. And, you know, these girls just think they can walk up to someone and start dragging them by the hair. It's clearly assaultive behavior.
Look, I mean, look how vicious the punching and the kicking and the hair pulling and, you know, what really frustrates me, why didn't anybody, you see all these people around there, instead of videotaping this, why didn't you get in there
why
and stop it?
Why don't you get involved? Yeah. What sort of people
look
are these?
Look at this.
Now, we know that there's another, you can't see it on this tape right here, but we know that there's another McDonald's employee based on what he's wearing who basically walks in, tells the girls, hey, stop, and that's not
there's
that
one person.
This
that
is a good Samaritan.
Yeah, this person was the one person that tried to say stop it.
Now, you know, unfortunately, there's not a mandatory Good Samaritan law, which means in Maryland, you don't have to intervene, but you can voluntarily intervene, and if you do, you can't be prosecuted for any sort of tortious conduct.
I don't think you can. Look, people don't know what they're getting into. You know, if you I think you have to call 911. Here's where I might disagree with both of you. I think the full power punishment ought to come down on the people involved in this.
Yeah, but you got to put a case together. You just can't say this is horrible.
Case. Exhibit A.
That's a pretty good
we need
a,
if you want to do a hate crime prosecution, Sean, you got to have hate crime evidence.
Right, but here's where I disagree with you. Would you not agree that any act of violence is a hateful act? By definition, if you are killing somebody, beating somebody, you agree with that?
I disagree with that. Because
no?
That's
is it an act of love?
It's not. Of course it's not an act of love, but that's not what the hate crime legislation
but that's
is
my
all
point.
About.
Hate crimes, you're trying to get into people's minds to determine why they did this. I don't care why they did it. They should get the full punishment, which should be severe for any conduct like that. Forget about what their thoughts were at the time or what motivated them.
You know what? I agree with you.
Yeah.
But we're talking about is legislation that is called hate crime because it addresses certain crimes that are created or that are started just because a person is different.
Right. Does it really matter if, let's say the beating for whatever reason is one because this woman may or may not be transgendered. It doesn't matter. This is an act of violence against a human being. So what does it matter what their motivation is, their thought process is, They're guilty of the crime. We don't need to start figuring out what's in their head.
They're guilty of an assault, clearly.
There you go.
You have different kinds of assaultive behavior. So the question is this something that's based on their gender, their race, their sexual orientation, whatever it is, where they're from?
Why does that matter if, in other words, if our punishments fit the crime and we see the crime being committed there? What's the difference? In other words, why do we don't have to go down this road? I think this idea of reading people's minds is absurd.
Right. What you're saying is there's no need to separate the assault for just an assault and assault for the intent of hurting someone because they may be transgender.
Thanks, Mr. Douche.
Yeah. All right. Enough of Sean Hannity. But, you know, I mean, of course, his whole argument about hate crimes is totally fucked because, you know, hate crimes are not about individuals. Hate crimes are about attacks against communities. And of course, that's what Sean Hannity doesn't understand. Being a rich white Christian man at the top of the food chain, he doesn't see why, you know, it should be, because he's not a member of those organizations. And like most Republicans, he doesn't fit into a minority, so therefore no minority should have rights because, you know, it doesn't, you know, he's not a part of it. So why should anybody get something that he can't have? You know, that's Sean Hannity, though. So, but do you agree with me, Ethan? It's just, isn't it fucked up that we're getting better coverage on this from Fox and Sean Hannity than we're getting from MSNBC and Rachel Maddow?
Well, absolutely. But when I want to just chime in for a second about hate crime legislation and what they've stated, the person that was defending hate crimes fails to understand as well, is that the groups that are targeted for hate crimes, often the people that commit these crimes don't get punished for committing the crimes of assault or murder, for specifically attacking a person based on whatever, LGBT or race, whatever. The people don't get prosecuted the same. By having a specific law, that says you cannot attack these people because they're trans or because it says specifically that these people's lives matter too. And then generally the prosecution is that people are prosecuted with a little bit of a different intent at that point. It's saying to the rest of society that this isn't acceptable, that we value these people's lives just as much as everybody else's. And it would be wonderful if everybody could be prosecuted. If you committed a crime against a transgender person or a gay person or whoever, that everybody would be prosecuted the same, but that it doesn't happen.
True. Yeah. Well, that I mean, and that's true whether we're talking about transgender people or we're talking about gay
anybody.
People or we're talking about African-Americans or Hispanics or any other minority in this country.
Well, Republicans. If I don't beat the shit out of somebody because they're Republican.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm sure that, first of all, it really wouldn't matter because WASPs, if I harmed a WASP, I would get prosecuted, especially me being a transgender person, I'd be prosecuted within the inch of my life.
Right.
You know, that would be,
don't you think it's interesting, for example, that like, you know, when people protest, Don't Ask, Don't Tell by the chaining themselves to the White House fence, that's when the Obama administration decides they're going to prosecute to the full extent of the law. They don't do it with anyone else. But then all of a sudden, when the gays and the trans folks are out there, that's when they decide, oh, we want to go for 6 months and put you in jail and destroy your lives and give you a criminal record. Even though we've never done this with anyone else, even though the frickin' Bush administration never did this sort of thing. Okay, then everybody else gets a desk appearance ticket, but you're trans and LGBT, so you're going to get, we're going to prosecute you to the full extent of the law, and we're not going to negotiate.
Right. And of course, they wanted to discourage other people from doing it.
Right.
And so they used, to use LGBT people as an example is ludicrous. Why don't they do that with any other groups that have done this in the past?
Right. Exactly. But you see, because that's what the Obama administration does. Then they turn around and say, oh, we're going to have a conversation about transgender issues at the White House. Isn't that exciting? Don't expect anything to actually happen as a result, because, of course, we fucked things up in the last Congress, so we can't do anything. But we're going to talk about it. Isn't that swell? You know, I mean, and it's like, and then they want us to turn around and say, oh, and be sure to run and donate lots of money and vote for us and go tell your friends to vote for us. You know, I mean, it's so blatantly transparent. And then they expect these people expect us to be there for them when they come to us and say, now we need your help to keep our offices, to get Republicans out of office. It's like, well, where were you when I needed you? You know, that's what I feel. I feel like telling listeners that when Democrats come to your door and say, volunteer for me and vote for me, tell them to go fuck themselves. Tell them, oh, sorry, I've run out of time.
The Obama administration is actually putting out a call to hire transgender people to work on the campaign, to hire.
Oh, sure they are, because they realize that they're at the cusp of a major revolt here. So they're doing everything they can, because people like you and me are going to say, you know what? Fuck these people. Where were they when we needed them? You know, they desperately want to present a face that says, oh, yes, we're inclusive. Even though when we had the power to help you, we turned our backs on you and threw you under the bus. But, you know, you should trust us again this time, even though we totally threw you to the wolves the last time when we made these same exact promises. But you should trust us this time, because that's what it is. It's all a show. It's all an illusion. These people don't give a shit whether we live or die. They just don't.
I realize that. But one of the things that I'm always for is education. If we have the opportunity to educate people, that's wonderful. But President Obama has already said that if a fully inclusive mandate goes through Congress, he would sign it. So what is it exactly that we're educating people on, and who are we educating? Again, that has never been made clear to us. All that's been made clear is that a bunch of select transgender people are going to the White House, and it has to be transgender people that have been working on policy issues. So what policies are they working on? Because, I mean, it wasn't even NCTE that worked on the policy change for passports. It wasn't, so I don't understand. Unless, of course, it's something to do with, which would be wonderful, Social Security not outing people. So policy, sure. But policy that, why would you have to meet at the White House? I'm not getting this. It might look great for organizations and for, again, you're right, the Democratic Party. But I don't get what it is that they're doing, who they're educating, and what the policies are that they're going to be working on and that needs to change. And, of course, we know that there's a bunch that do. But, just tell us the specifics. You're not going to make everybody happy. That's a given. Somebody's going to bitch. No matter what. Somebody's going to complain about blah, 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 blah. You're not doing that. But at least let us know what the hell's going on. The fact that the community, that the people that this is affecting the most are never made privy to this information goes to show you that there's not a transparent, that there's no transparency, really, in this administration. There's no transparency within our LGBT community. There's no transparency in the advocacy. And that's a shame. Because there'd be so much more, so much less revolt, and so much more of the trying to work together aspect, I think.
Right. But the reality is, and you know this as well as I do, Ethan, the reality is if they were serious about helping us, if they were serious about standing up for our rights like they promised us all through 2008 and 2007, if they were serious about it, then when they had the opportunity, they would have done it. Okay? I don't know about you, but I think "we ran out of time" is the lamest excuse I have ever heard for failing to protect American citizens from discrimination. Okay. And I think the entire Obama administration from Obama on down should hang their heads in shame. Ran out of time? What the hell kind of garbage is that?
Sorry.
And why on earth should we support people like that?
Sorry, no employment rights for you. We ran out of time. And don't forget, this isn't just about transgender people. LGBT people are included in that piece of legislation.
Right, and, that's and my now, point. How is it, that a valid excuse? It just isn't. It can't be.
No. And they reintroduced it, but where's the language? Have you seen the language yet? I haven't. They keep telling us it's from 2009, but where is it? I don't know where the hell it is. I haven't seen it. Have you?
Because it's they made a big show of introducing it. It'll never see the light of day in the House. It'll never see the light of day in the Senate. We both know this, okay? Because they made a big show. They said, oh, look, you know, here's your headline for the year. Goodbye. Now we're going to go pander to the rich martini drinkers, you know.
When they said they were going to introduce it, that Barney Frank was holding a press conference, and he was supposed to introduce the bill. And then he called off the press conference, didn't introduce the bill, but nobody showed up because all of the organizations and the press still said that they introduced the bill when they didn't. It was hilarious. I'm like, wow. Didn't anybody check with him? I mean, call the office, hey, what's going on? Yeah.
No, because nobody gives a shit. Maybe they'll give a
that
shit
was
now.
Just amazing. Yeah, maybe they will. Maybe they will. Yeah,
maybe this whole Chrissy Paulus thing, you know, I mean, it kicked people in the teeth and said, see, this is what's really going on.
Well, the symbolism, the thing is, she got beat up, and that's a horrible thing. What happened to her was absolutely horrible. I also want to point out that this is definitely what happens to most trans people in our lives. That, you know, how are we supposed to tell our youth stay in school? For what? Without employment rights. How are we supposed to explain to, you know, there's a lot of teen suicide, and we're telling them, please don't do that. And believe me, I would repeat that all day long. We need you. We love you. You deserve to be here to pursue the happiness like every other American citizen. We all deserve that. The fact that we're not getting that is a shame. The fact that we're not getting that we should be enraged. We should not just be outraged. We should be enraged. We should be taking it to the streets. The fact that, so too many people have sat back, Becky, started giving money to these organizations that said, oh, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. Just give us your money. Don't worry about it. Go and have a party. Go and enjoy Gay Pride, which isn't even an event anymore. That was the outrage. That was the marches. It's a parade now. It's a corporate sponsored fucking parade for what?
Yeah. It is. It is. You know what it is? It's a queer flea market now. That's what it is.
Yep.
I mean, at least that's what it is here in Jersey. Everybody's got their booths and they're all selling their tchotchkes, you know. That's what it is. I mean, it's little more than that. And yeah, there's occasionally a parade, you know, but that's really what it's about. It's a parade and a flea market at the end. You know, it's like buy yourself a cherry crush and a rainbow necklace, you know.
And all of those people that attend, the thousands, and in some cases, hundreds of thousands of people that attend those events, where are you? Because you know what? This isn't a party. This is our lives, and we're still being beaten, whether you're LGBT or T. We're still being beaten. We're being denied jobs. Our youth are committing suicide.
Yeah.
When the hell are you going to be mad enough to stop having a party?
Right. Yeah, exactly. But you see, that's the thing. You know, I mean, after all, they've got good jobs. They've got nice homes. Why do they give a shit? And I think, well, that's what we see. You know, I'll tell you, I've said this on the air before. When I was at that HRC gala thing in February, and they went through and they had the guy who was representing Governor Cuomo, and he was on the stage and he was talking about, you know, all the things that Cuomo was going to do. And they said, oh, and we're going to pass gay marriage. Everybody cheered. And then they said, oh, and we're going to pass gender. There was one person in the room who was cheering. That would be me. Okay? I mean, literally, it wasn't that people were antagonistic. They simply just didn't give a shit. It just wasn't something they cared about. You know, I mean, that's what the problem is. It's not antagonism of our community. It's that people just don't care. They care about themselves and their own issues, and they don't give a shit. And their attitude is, you know, if I'm going to give you money, I want it spent on gay marriage because that's what matters to me. And, the, you know, fuck these trans people. It's like, let them get their own movement. I've seen that actual quote. I've seen it.
I know. I have, too. And this is the truth. This isn't just an argument that we're using to gain support from the gay and lesbian community, but sincerely, if, you know, if we had our bills, say it was the other way around and transgender people, if we had a bill that didn't include sexual orientation, but that included gender identity or expression, that would do more for the gay and lesbian community than sexual orientation alone does for the transgender community, simply because it's very rare when something happens to a gay lesbian person because you can see their sexual orientation. Now, granted, employment is different. You talk about your spouse at work, blah, 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 you can get fired for that. But I'm talking about, based on your presentation, I know very few gay and lesbian people that conform to stereotypes of what it is to be a man or a woman. I see very few people that conform to that in the gay and lesbian community.
I don't know if I agree with that. A lot of folks, I think there's a lot of folks who just are you would never know unless they told you, kind of thing.
Well, I think that there are, but I don't think that there are enough. Well, if you take the whole population, I'm saying. So it just, I grew up in that community. You know, I grew up in that community. Come on. You know, do I know people that conform? Absolutely. Absolutely I do. I know people that go to work and try to conform. I know people that hide who they are.
Yeah, I mean, I used to work with a whole bunch of them, and some were you know, I mean, Butch Dykes, like, that you would not, you know, to the point where you would see this person walk into a room and you wouldn't be sure, you know, is that a man or a woman? I'm not certain, you know?
I'm not sure. And that's, you know, God knows I'm not condemning anybody for that. I think it's wonderful. I think that very few people conform to gender stereotypes, whether you're straight or gay. I think that gender identity or expression helps the straight community as much as it does the gay and lesbian community, depending on where you live.
Yeah.
I mean, it's geographic. So, you know, it's gender is not static. Gender is not polar. I mean, there are, of course. But it's what you see on television. It's the media that throws these polar opposites at you and says, this is what it means to be a man or a woman. If you look around the world, the real people outside, the people you see every day, there's so many variations of gender. So the idea that people are getting angry with us or telling us to get our own movement is really ludicrous, because our fight is really everybody's fight. It's not all about being trans. It's about anybody who doesn't conform can be discriminated against. It's just, and it happens. It's happened many times.
Yes.
You know, there was a rugby player, the female that got kicked out of the ladies' room and arrested in New York City. Remember that?
Yeah. Oh, the one who was at the village. The Village restaurant, I forget which one it was called. But yeah, she got thrown out because they wouldn't believe she wasn't a man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there were a
trans woman who was dragged out of a bathroom at Port Authority in New York, the bus station, by cops. And she was saying, but there's a law against this. And one cop said to the other, is there some law that protects these freaks? And the other cop said, I don't know. Let's arrest him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's what happens. Yep. They don't give a shit. Do you think those cops ever had to answer for that? I'll give you one guess. That's the problem.
And now imagine Now imagine somebody who has been harmed in some way, a trans person that's been raped, going to the police station.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah, I mean, because the attitude is, as well, you know, you're like that, so you deserve what you get. Mm-hmm. You know, don't be like that, and you won't get that.
But our movement, it's not our movement, it's everybody's movement, and it's the whole idea of the transphobia that we all endure, whether you're F to M or M to F, is all based in the misogynistic society that we live in.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And
it's interesting because, I mean, obviously, you know, trans guys tend to pass better. You know, you grow a beard and all of a sudden a lot of people don't look anything past that, you know,
that's a big cue. It really is. It's a big cue. And it doesn't even matter if, to a certain extent, you know, if you have little bumps on your chest, especially if you're a heavy guy, they don't care. They just, you know, you're a guy.
A lot of men do.
The man, oh, I know. Some of them have bigger ones than I did. God, you know, it's just, yeah, it is. It's just the luck of the draw, I guess. But, you know, that's not even a social cue. That's not, the guys don't look at each other's chest to see what's there. They look at your face. They look at the way you stand. I gesture with my hands a lot, which could be concerned, I'm not going to the bathroom and pour myself some lemon drink. That's what it is with that splash. But no, it's you know, this is the so the idea, I mean, it is, it's ludicrous. It's ludicrous to say our movement, that it's our, we ought to get our own movement. You know, we really should all be in this together.
That's really the problem. Is there are too many organizations like, you know, HRC and others who just don't see it that way, who are like, you know, we want to focus on marriage. I mean, why do you think that they didn't fight harder in Maryland? Because they wanted to save their resources for marriage. Because after all, that's what really matters, you know.
Well, they were getting money from HRC, the Gill Foundation, and I forget the name of that marriage group. But it's you know, and that's where they call in Maryland started their implosion from. But the whole idea, when you look at organizations like HRC and other big national organizations, you know, again, they've really just they've made a business out of this. And it's not, I watch what they do, and honestly, it's not even about the gay and lesbian community to a certain extent, and about gaining rights for them. It's about how much money can we get from people. It's a business. They're running a business. They're selling something.
Yeah.
And, you know, to watch them, even with marriage equality, they screw up a lot. And it's amazing to me to watch this, you know. And painful at the same time to know.
But again, don't you think, Ethan, that it boils down to, in a lot of cases, it boils down to the, well, yeah, we want to, you know, do something with this, but what we're really focused on is this over here. Which is kind of what you get from HRC. It's kind of what you get from Equality Matters. It's kind of what you get from NGLTF and all these gay incorporated organizations that say, oh, we support trans rights. But when it comes time to start writing the checks and putting people on the ground, then all of a sudden it's like, well, you know, wait a minute. We're going to save most of our resources for this really important thing over here. You know,
right.
Well, I mean, that's what we see all the time.
Their
I think.
Funding. We do. And that's their funding. That's where they're getting their funding. When they start focusing on our stuff, they lose funding. They lose funding from big funders and individual funders. That, again, like you said, these are from the people that attend the dinners. They don't care. You know, these are the rich people that are keeping these organizations afloat, and they don't care.
Yeah. And that's really the problem. And I think that, you know, these organizations should either A, be honest and say, you know, we, this is what we don't have the funding for. If you want the, if you want us to work on these issues, we need more funding, which they don't say. They just say, send us money and we'll make the best use of it. Trust us. And nobody's, yeah, nobody in this community is going to believe that, because we, you know, when have we ever seen that happen?
Well, we haven't. Never, ever.
And that's the point.
And, no, I mean, this is something, again, you know, I don't really focus on them that much unless I see them lying to our community and saying, please, let's, you know, give us money for this, you know, which I see a lot of. But, you know, we have to find ways to work around these organizations and do it ourselves. I think that everybody would be happier in the long run. They certainly wouldn't. They would take some pressure off of them, and it would put the ball in our court, allow us to do the work that we really need to do. You know, they always dangle that, well, we can open doors for you. You can sit at our table. And if you do all of those things, you never have your own voice.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree with that. But, you know, I mean, the reality is I think that we have to start saying, you know what, if you want to call yourselves LGBT, you have to earn it. And then if you don't earn it and you adopt the acronym without doing the activism necessary to justify the use of it, we're going to call you out on it. And we're going to talk about it on our radio shows, and we're going to write blog posts about it, and we're going to show up on your doorstep with signs, and we're going to do all of those things. And, you know, I think we have to hold people accountable. It's not just the Obama administration we need to hold accountable. We need to hold our own organizations accountable and say, I think we need to show up. I mean, you know, it's been since 2004 was the last time we showed up on HRC's doorstep.
Right. But there's a lot of resources that we waste when we go and we do that. We're asking them to do something that they're never going to do. They haven't. They're not going to. We could use those resources to help ourselves instead. We could use those resources to, if you're going to go to Washington, D.C. to protest, don't. Go to lobby. Go and lobby. You want to take to the streets about something, take it up with our government, not with these schmoes.
I don't know if I agree with that. I think we can do both. I mean, look at when we went in 2004. We were doing both, literally.
How well and what did that get us?
Yeah, but you know what, Ethan? Think about it. And we were talking about this earlier off air. When did we really get a major political advance? When we went and we protested in front of HRC events in 2007. We stood out there with our signs and we made politicians decide whether or not they wanted to cross that line. And all of a sudden, a non-inclusive ENDA no longer became an option because they knew that you pull that
Then they passed the non-inclusive ENDA in 2007 is what they did. Nothing happened as a result of our protesting HRC other than we pissed them off, which I don't, you know, great, yay. But they didn't change anything. They didn't change their policies. They didn't help us anymore.
I'm not talking about HRC. I'm talking about the politicians, okay? Like when Christine Quinn wouldn't show up, when only one New York politician bothered to show up for the HRC gala in 2007, when there were more people and politicians outside the event in San Francisco than they were inside, when they had quotes in the San Francisco Chronicle of politicians calling them human rights cowards.
Right. Well, the unions were backing us, too, and there was two issues going on. It wasn't all about ENDA. It was also about HRC using a non-union hotel that was anti-LGBT. That's what that was about, too. There were two issues there. So it wasn't just that we got all of these people to do this to support us for an inclusive ENDA, because that's not what happened.
But isn't that the whole point? We should be uniting with like-minded people to accomplish more than one goal. That's exactly what we should
absolutely.
Be doing.
Absolutely. But, you know, again, it's, you know, where now? I mean, what now? To do this with, you know, to get politicians' attention about ENDA or about our rights, absolutely. But for HRC... No. They're not worth it. They're not doing anything to change, to help us, to work with us. Nothing. Nothing.
Well, not yet. Yeah, I have to agree with you there. By the way, I want to remind people that they're listening to the Rebecca Juro Show. We are talking with Ethan St. Pierre, and we've decided that we're going to go about 10 minutes over because we lost a little time at the beginning of the show. So we're going to go until about 10 after 9. So stick around with us. You know, I know we're running into Rachel Maddow, but, you know, hey, what can I tell you? but anyway, getting back to what we're talking about. You know, I what I'm hoping, Ethan, is that people use this, that people use this Chrissy Lee Polis thing as a rallying point. And we start to say, you know what? We're going to remember this. And you know what? When the Maryland legislature comes back into session in whatever it is, September or October or whatever that is, we're going to remind you about this. And we're going to play that tape, you know, and we're going to call up that video and we're going to show up at your rallies. And we're going to show up, and you know, nationwide, while you're running for office, we're going to ask you, you know, and we're going to show up at your events. And when Obama for America volunteers show up at my door, we're going to remind them, well, where were you? You're coming to me for help now? Where were you when I needed your help?
And you know what? It's also other states that are trying to pass laws where it's being contemplated whether or not public accommodation should be removed. You know?
Yeah.
And that should be played.
Well, what really needs to happen is we need a national law. That would make all of this crap moot.
Right.
That's
but
what we need.
Public accommodations is not included in the federal ENDA. Housing
right.
and public accommodations. This is a workplace non-discrimination law.
And there should be. Rather. You know, I'll tell you,
well,
I would love to get your take
you
on this.
What,
I've been leaning towards the idea.
There will probably be something to do with restrooms in there.
Yeah. But I'm leaning towards the idea that we should just be added to the Civil Rights Act of 1964. There are certain people who have been promoting this, and I, you know, the idea seems more and more attractive that we should have something that's all encompassing, that includes workplace rights, that includes public accommodations, housing, employment, all that stuff, which is what ENDA was originally for gay people.
Oh, I agree. Yep, and I absolutely couldn't agree with you more. I think that it could be and it should be. But again, this is what organizations in D.C. have already settled on this without asking anybody in the LGBT community, and have already settled on the idea of having three separate bills, one for workplace, one for housing, and one for public accommodations, the exact same way they're doing it in Nevada, and the same way they did it in Hawaii. And this is what, you know, this is what they're going to do without asking anybody, without bothering. Yeah. Because you know what? It'll keep them in business and it'll...
Part of the problem is that, you know, these folks are like making excuses for the politicians. Like, for example, there's a new article in the Washington Blade and they have a quote from Mara Kiesling. And, you know, I agree with Mara on some things. I don't agree with her on others. But there's a quote from her. And she says, I want to read this quote. This is the first president who has allowed trans people, really allowed LGBT people to bring forward problems and then advocate for them. In the Bush administration, we couldn't even do that. They wouldn't even listen to us. They didn't care what our problems were. In fact, they were making most of our problems. So that's true up to as far as it goes. But the reality is he's not by no means the first. I mean, Clinton did that. He had Richard Socarides in his administration. You know, so what it is if this is what he considers, this is what Mara considers allowing trans people to bring forward problems and advocate for them. This is what she considers advocacy by the Obama administration. Oh, I'm sorry, but that's where I get off the boat. Okay, because I mean, has he ever used his bully pulpit to call for trans protections? Has he ever used his bully pulpit to call for the passage of ENDA? Has he ever used his bully pulpit to even just suggest that maybe we should have the same protections as anyone else? I think she is defending failure, and I take serious issue with her on this. I think that the Obama administration has a bunch of liars. They are a colossal failure when it comes to defending our rights, and nobody should be trying to dress it up the way Mara seems to be here. I think that's just wrong. I think we need to turn up the heat on these people, and we need to do it now.
Why wouldn't she defend failure when there's no when she herself has no successes?
But that's, you know, that's what I'm saying. I mean, there's, just to give you another example, right after that quote, there's a quote from Michael Silverman, executive director of the Transgender Legal Defense and Education Fund, and says that this meeting is tremendously significant. Bullshit. It's a crock of crap.
Meeting with who? This meeting.
Right.
This meeting with who? It's not a meeting with President Obama. Who are they meeting with? You know, I mean, the administration hired Amanda Simpson. I'm sure that she's, you know, she's there. She's a visible person. Everybody knows that she's trans scholar. She's living in the closet or anything.
We have one. We have one.
No,
you know.
No, I'm not saying it for that reason. I'm saying it because it's like, well, it's not like, nobody in the White House has seen a trans person. It's like, no, I mean, they've invited transgender people to the White House, LGBT people to the White House. There have been a couple of interns working at the White House that were trans. They were, you know, and I don't know if there are any other trans people working there. They may not be. The point is, it's not like they don't know. The Obama administration is proactive. You know, they're looking for trans people to work for their campaign. So again, what is it that you know? It's not like our problems are any different than any other minority group in history. We have the exact same issues.
Except that
the exact same issues.
They ran out of time.
So,
I think we should throw that in their faces.
Why wouldn't they just go, oh, well, of course, you know, I understand that ours can be unique because we have some other medical issues that, you know, transsexual people have medical issues, blah, blah, blah. I get all of that. But again, who are they meeting with and about what? I get, you know, that it's great and wonderful. You know, education, I'm not knocking education, no matter when you can do it. It's a wonderful thing, you know. But this is supposed to be people that have only worked on policy. But if you're only going there to educate people, which is, again, not an only, that's not a small thing. But the people that have done this for a very long time should be invited, like Denise LeClaire. She's executive director of the largest and oldest transgender organization. Come on. They've been around since 1978. To not invite Denise is ludicrous.
The problem with Denise, and I've said this before, is that nobody knows who she is. She doesn't have a very public profile outside of the community. That's the problem.
Well, it's more and more people again to know who she is. And the fact of the matter is Mara knows who she is. And Mara is supposed to be in charge of the people, of the one inviting everybody. So,
well, yeah, but I mean, I think that she needs to have a more public profile if she expects to get invitations to these things. Because otherwise, people are just going to go to Mara because Mara is the public face of the community.
No.
We don't have anyone else. That's the problem.
Listen, I'm not saying, I didn't say that I thought Denise should be the person that everybody's that should be gone to about Mara is the one that they're going to saying invite transgender people to this thing. Mara knows Denise. It's not like she doesn't know who Denise is or know Denise at all. Denise and Mara have worked together before.
Sure.
This is what I'm talking about. I'm not saying that, you know, a lot of people know who Denise is. Everybody certainly knows that IFGE exists. You know, again, oldest organization, International Foundation for Gender Education. This is what they do. Right. This is what they're doing. They're supposed to be going there to educate. If they're working on policy issues, what policies are they? And with whom?
Right.
So, exactly. You know, and they're meeting at the White House. Well, okay, well, why? You know, nice of them to lend you a room. You know, seriously. So there's a lot of questions. I'm not knocking that it's happening. Educate. Absolutely. But who? Who are we educating? If we're not educating President Obama, then who is it?
Right, because, you know, President Obama will never bother to show up for one of those meetings. He's too busy promoting himself, just like every other Democrat. You know, well, I mean, right now, you'll get some low level bureaucrat who will sit there and nod his head, and then they'll go back to doing what they do, which is what they always do. Come on, remember when we had all the transgender meetings in, what was it, 2007? Yeah, that really changed things, didn't it? Or the meeting in the Senate where they have an issue of a conference on transgender rights with no transgender people. I mean, this is what we get from Democrats. So, mm-hmm. I just have a very hard time finding any of this credible. I really do.
You're not going to get an argument from me.
If they want to be considered credible by me, they have to do more than just sit there and talk. They have to actually do something. And what's interesting is I just saw this. I have to find it on Pam's House Blend. Actually, I just saw it. Apparently, where is it here? Oh, the Department of Labor announced a revised equal opportunity policy to include gender identity and pregnancy. Apparently, those weren't even in there. Hang on. Let me just read this little thing. It says the Department of Labor today announced its full commitment to implementing equal employment opportunity policies for all employees and applicants. Oh, this is just for the employment for their own Department of Labor.
Right.
It says the policies ensure protections for all employees, regardless of race, color, religion, national origin, sex, including pregnancy and gender identity, age, disability, whether physical or mental, genetic information, status as a parent, sexual orientation, or any other non-merit factor. I mean, great, but so what? Big deal. So now, gay people can serve in the military and trans people can work for the Department of Labor. Big fucking deal. You know, I mean, this is just more, this apology crumbs that these people throw at us, please vote for us here. Here's some more crumbs for you. I mean, what I'm saying is what we've seen. I think we hear, we're going to talk about this and we're going to talk about that and we're going to discuss this and we're going to. And I say, bullshit, do something. And saying that the Department of Labor won't discriminate against trans people, that's bullshit. It's less than bullshit. That should be a baseline. I mean, you shouldn't have to announce something like that. It should just be the baseline of your administration. I mean, I think this is nonsense.
I wonder how many people are going, they weren't.
Exactly.
That it was never a policy.
Well, don't forget that the Bush administration specifically did not. They absolutely refused to. But I mean, 2 years in and you have to make this kind of an announcement? What the hell kind of crap is this?
Yep.
I mean,
exactly. And again, it's crap that can all change. There's been nothing passed by Congress concerning transgender people and employment. So even the passport thing can change. In another administration, they can look at that and go, you know what? No, we're not going to do this anymore, and decide to change it if they want to. It's a policy. It's not a law.
Right, exactly. And that's exactly why all of this stuff that we're seeing, the only thing that has a hope of sticking around for the long haul is the hate crimes law, because that's a legislated law. And even that, if we get enough of a Republican majority, you can be sure that'll be threatened, too. They just haven't gotten around to it yet because they're too busy trying to screw people who want abortions.
Well, and the other thing, too, though, Becky, is it's really hard to repeal something like a hate crimes law because you actually have to tell the American people that what you're saying is that it's going to be okay to harm or kill these group of people. And I'm fairly certain that the American people have a big problem with that, especially repealing something. So, I understand that, you didn't even find it hard pressed for a Republican that's not a politician to say, no, it's not okay to do that. So it's that would be iffy. Employment law, sure, I could see that happening. But sure. By the time we get one passed, it's going to be so watered down anyway that,
Yeah.
Again,
by the time we get one passed, you and I will both be collecting Social Security anyway. So,
Well, that's not that long up that far
we're gonna be in the old, we'll be in the old tranny's home.
I'm going to be 50 years old this year.
Hey, dude, I got news for you, okay? Let's see, wait, what's today, the 28th? Oh, my God, in like 10 days, I turn 49, so don't feel bad.
I think the question is whether you will be able to collect any Social Security by the time you get to 62, 64, 65, 66, 67.
Yeah, or Medicare or pretty much anything else. Really? Because you know that the Obama administration is going to cave on that just like they cave on everything.
Well, it's really obscene. It is so bad.
Yeah.
Ethan and I may be okay. Ethan, I'm about your age, too. So.
Yeah, well,
you're a little bit older than both of us, I think, Mr. Mike, but by a few years. By not many, but by
in August. My wife is 53. She's a show for an older woman.
Well, we're all in the same relative demographic, I think.
Yeah, we're in the same area. Yeah, it's not. But, you know, I mean, hell, I've seen a lot of progress. And that's the other thing, too. I know it doesn't seem like much, and it's not. But relatively, when you think about, I mean, God, there was no such thing as a GSA when I was in high school. You know, there was none of that. You know, so there has been some progress. There has been progress with the way that society thinks and feels about all of us. So
well, you know what? The one encouraging thing that I thought from this whole Catherine, from the Chrissy Lee Polis thing that was encouraging to me was that 300 people showed up for that rally, and not all of them were trans folks. Right. That was encouraging.
And the woman that stood up for her was another thing that was really encouraging, that she was like, this is a human being. And a woman stood up. And got in there. You know, the guys were all, whoa, I don't know what to do. The woman went in, tried to, you know, and got involved. And, hey, you know. And the same thing went for that woman in Utah that tried to get her driver's license changed and was harassed by the workers at the DMV there. The woman behind her put up a stink, saw everything that happened.
Yes.
And it was like, so people are stepping in. People that are not trans or LGB, for that matter, are standing up, stepping in and saying, this isn't right. This is a human being. Treat them with respect. There's
no reason. And I think you're going to see more and more of that. Because I think the youth are not growing up with these kind of prejudices.
Exactly.
And bigotries.
Exactly. Yep. And eventually it will change. And, you know, again, I've seen a lot of change already. It's not enough. And that's one of the things that I need to say before, you know, we sign off or whatever, is that there are still people out there that are transgender people that don't believe that we deserve all of these rights because they're still either in that stage of shame and guilt themselves. But we do deserve this. We deserve everything that every opportunity that everybody else has.
I agree.
And we have to keep pushing
the point. And we can't let people forget it. We can never let people forget this. And we have to, that video has to stay viral. We have to play it every time that there's a Brian Frosch or a Mike Miller who says that you know, trans rights are anti-family. We have to play that video. And every time that we get some idiot in Congress who says, oh, we just ran out of time, we have to play that video. And every time that we get some guy like Evan Bay saying, oh, fairness, well, you know, we can get around to that later, we have to play that video. And we have to put this in their faces. And I think there's no more excuses. I mean, we can't sit on our asses behind our computers and expect things to change unless we change them themselves.
Yep, that's right. And don't be ashamed of who you are. Be proud of who you are and go out and do it. And I just want to give one little plug to MTPC, the Massachusetts Transgender Political Coalition. Go to their website and check out some of their videos there. It's a speak out about from and by trans people. And the website is massmassstpc.org. That's massstpc.org. And check it out. It's I am trans, people speak out. And it's people from the community that's trans that just letting people know who they are.
Absolutely. And that's awesome. Hey, Ethan, I want to thank you. You're awesome as always on the show whenever we have you on. Thank you for doing it. And I don't know. I'll talk off air at some point soon. But thanks for doing the show and hashing this one out, because, you know, this was a really emotional one. Left to my own devices, yes, God knows where I would have wound up tonight.
It is difficult, and that's the other thing, is being there for each other when things like this happen, because people can get put in a very scary place with depression, anxiety, all of those things. We need to remember not just to be there for Chrissy, but also other people in our community that feel the pain from this, that get terrified from this.
Absolutely. Dude, thank you so much for coming on. And we will catch you soon.
Thank you. And don't forget to
listen to Ethan Sunday night on Sodium Pentothal Sunday transfm.org.
Thank you.
Bye, Ethan.
I forgot about that.
Yes.
See ya.
All right. So long, Ethan. Good night.
Good night.
All right. All right. Anyway, so that's it. We're about out of time. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Thank you for putting up with all our technical issues tonight. And thank you, of course, as always, for supporting this media. Get out there. Be loud. Be proud. Let us not forget this. And let's make sure that the politicians don't forget this. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week.